sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Femi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Give you praise, Jesus. Can we lift our hands and bless the name of the Lord from the depth of our heart? Oh, thank you. We give you praise. Lift your voice, bless him. Deserve the glory and the honor.
Lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Bless you. We thank you. We are eternally grateful. Be exalted, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight I ask that you will please do what only you can do. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Give the Lord a big, big hand. Thank you, streams of light. Thank you. You may please be seated. Thank you. Can you bow your heads and talk to God tonight? Say whatever you want to do, by all means, don't pass me by. By the time tonight is over, it will occur to you that there's never been a night like this in your life. So I know why I ask you to pray. And pray like your life depends on it. By the time tonight it's over, Lord, let it be obvious. Let it be crystal clear. That you did not pass me by. That you did not pass my family by. In Jesus' name we are praying. Hallelujah. So let me speak to sons and daughters who are connected online. Particularly if you are in this city. And I call and I say this meeting, sons and daughters. I'm not sure I said that specifically. But I don't have to say it specifically for you to know that you have to rush down. Is that clear? We must learn the culture of pursuing. So my conversation with you tonight is going to be in four principal areas. And then I'm going to break it into three. Four areas, but two are a category on their own. Then one is going to be my instruction for you. Then the fourth one is going to be my counsel for the next phase, which borders on both in respect to the church and you personally. Is that okay? So you have to pay. The first two aspects, we're going to pray in such a way that even the devil will know that you have broken something. Will you pray? Are you sure? When I ask you to pray, will you please pray? Good. So I'm trying to. All right. So I'm going to start from the first area, and I ask that tonight you will pray prevailing prayers. Okay. Let me give you an introductory scripture. Leviticus chapter number 6. Let's start reading from verse 10. Leviticus 6. Let's start reading from verse 10. And the priest, how many of us are priests there? Well, some of you are not sure, but you declare that you are a royal priesthood. All right. The priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire had consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And the priest shall put off his garments and shall put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let me take you again to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter number 22. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Genesis chapter number 22, start the reading from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son. So please, what I want to tell you tonight are things that you will not hear me talk about on a normal day. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? You here, I can instruct you now. Huh? I can. Huh? We are not fighting as one that is beating the air. There is an end to this labor. And we are not giving the devil any foothold. It must come out. I wish I can carry all of you in my bowels to manifestation, but I can't. But I can teach you what to do. So follow well. All right. God tempted Abraham and he said, "Behold, here I am." Going to jump a bit. And he said, "Take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaves and clipped the wood for burnt offering and rose up and went unto a place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder to worship and come to you again." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" "My son." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering." So they both went together. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is to put your altar in place. Put your what? Altar in place. And when the altar is in place, it must have these three things: the wood, the fire, and the burnt offering. Somebody said, "What about the stone?" Those are for the constructions in the first place. But the stone without these things is just a gathering of stones. So you need what? Say it now. The fire and what? The burnt offering. So when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac said, "Something is missing in this equation. We have the wood. We have the fire. But where is the lamb for that?" So if you combine this scripture with Leviticus chapter number 6, when it said that the fire should never stop burning on the altar, the fire in itself is not just supposed to burn. The fire in itself is supposed to consume something. So when we talk about building an altar, we're not talking about giving. We're not talking about somebody sowing seed. We're talking about having a system in your life that the fire of God consumes you as a living sacrifice. The second part of it is having a system that the fire of God consumes something in your life as a living sacrifice. So the word sacrifice in the first place suggests that it's not going to be a convenient procedure. There's no convenient sacrifice. Every sacrifice is about letting something go. Let me give you an instance. When God tells you that I want to have a meeting with you every 1 a.m. for the rest of your life, do you know that immediately that 1 a.m. becomes the time your sleep is sweet? Doing that is not just going to be an act of obedience. It's going to be an act of sacrifice. Because now you have to forgo legitimate passion. Is sleep not legitimate? Talk to me now. It is. And what I want to show you today is that altars are more powerful than covenants. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know that many of us came from places where there was no track record of any working covenant between God and those who gave birth to us? Some of you probably were born in places where they probably didn't even have child dedication. They just gave birth and everybody moved on and got somebody who holds Bible to come and do naming ceremony, and some were even named as Muslims. Whichever the case may be, well, sometimes those who understand the power of altars succeed over those who understand covenant. And that's why covenanted people can die like scapegoats, because covenant is not everything. In fact, if covenants are going to be kept and maintained, there has to be an altar raised to that effect. Are you following what I'm saying here? But I want to show you, in the name that is above all, I'm not going to bury any one of you. You are going to grow old. But you see, we are trying to tighten loose ends here, such that if somebody understands this, the devil will fail over your life again and again. It's an understanding. I'm going to show you a lot of things. Let me show you the book of Isaiah, chapter number 38. Isaiah chapter number 38. Let's start reading from verse 1. Now, look at this issue here and tell me what is playing the role here, if it is covenant or altar. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiel wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Ezekiel, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days. How many years? 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. What is playing a role here? Was he covenant? Ezekiel, son of whom was he called? David. In that lineage, what's the covenant there? The sure mercies. But what is playing the role to elongate and preserve his life here? Was it the sure mercies? No. It was the power of a track record on the altar. As a matter of fact, when Saul died, one of the lamentations about his life was that Saul had died like one who has not been anointed with oil. What I'm telling you is that the track record of your walk with God, And what burns on the altar is a refuge in the day of battle. Hold on. Do you know that there are many young people in the city that God is helping and God is blessing, and they just feel they are smart? But really and indeed, it is because of one old woman somewhere who is busy sweeping a church. Have you seen those mothers who are busy and they are sweeping their church, particularly those Anglican churches, just walking Saturdays, they all come in mass. Hey, those are altars. Something keeps speaking for those children. They can't explain it. You go home, sometimes you are wondering, where's my mom? They say she's gone to church. You say, oh, this woman at church. But what you don't know is that that action keeps ventilating something about your life. Now, listen, when that happens, some of them have lived most part of their days that it's not even rubbing up on them again. But it's coming on their seed. Because one will serve him, it will be accounted for a generation. Now, why is God laying this in my heart? Because our generation is forgetting the place of sacrifice on the altar as a track record. People are, sometimes it's not like people are not doing stuff, but they are doing it, but not with a covenant mindset. They don't understand the power of what they are doing. So what they are doing is short-lived. They don't understand that. Sometimes you come to church and see people sweeping and doing all those things. Like, understandest thou what thou doest? Do you even know what you are doing? When we have to rise every now and then and sacrifice. You know, this is a house of sacrifice. And do it. Now, listen to me. Do you know Hezekiah could have died if he didn't call to remembrance what was on the altar? There are things you are going through that you ought not to go through if only you can call to remembrance. And sometimes, even when they are not things that you did directly but done on your behalf, you can still summon them. It is not just battles that is generational. Even service and the reward of service is generational. So when we talk about sacrifice on the altar, are you aware that many of the things we are enjoying today are a result of sacrifice altars that some people built with God? That's why I beg you, and I've said this again and again, if you have lived your life all through till now and don't have a season where there's a major interruption in your life, and the only activity for that season is prayer, you don't even know what you are praying about, then you might be living a dangerous life. Are you following what I'm saying? Said against sacrifice. Now, all these things you are enjoying, what will your children enjoy because you came? What is it about your life that can speak and stop the hands of death? What is that track record? Are you intentionally building a track record with God? You know, this is a generation of convenience. There is an ideology we have that the moment it stresses you, is not God. And many of you are living the season where it will be convenient for you to have a track record. Because time is not waiting for you. I shared that story with you of the whole Baptist church. The rain fell and took away the roof, and a farmer in church took his son, gave him to somebody to borrow money for the boy to be walking. And when it was time for the money to pay, but they didn't find the money, so the boy had to work some extra years to work for that amount of money. And when that season was over, the priest just called him and spoke a word to his life and said, "Hey, this nation is going to serve you the way this nation has served no one else." When Isaac was going to bless Jacob, the blessing was a covenanted blessing. But when he said, "Give me a venison that my soul may bless you," that's the power of a sacrifice. And many of us don't understand this basic stuff. I'm still going to give you instructions, but you know what I found out? I don't know if I've shared this one night. I just went on YouTube to listen to Bishop Oyedepo. And I stumbled on a few videos. So when I stumbled on them, then I had to search for that type. And I said, if something is consistent, it's not a coincidence. You know what I found out? I found out that he has an altar. And the altar is a dangerous, because it's a covenanted altar, but it's a strange one. And I saw that when this man is boasting about longevity and all that, of many things, this thing here is the secret. You know what I found out? All his friends and mentors who have gone to be with the Lord, he personally takes care of their families. And as busy as, if you go to see him now, he's going to see you standing up. So you have a few number of minutes you use and you go. He avails. And I look at the family of Archbishop Benson in Dausa. There's nothing they are doing. I look at many other families. I say, no. It's not a joke. This person knows something. Many people die early because they have no respect on covenant. Don't just be blind in your Christian walk. Be strategic with it. Be strategic. Have altars raised. There are, you've only received one dimensional blessing. There are blessings you should receive. You should receive blessings that are product of hot tears from widows and orphans because you've touched something about their lives. You've not received that one. I remember when I began to serve in a church, I don't want to mention the name, there's an orphanage home downstairs. And the first leadership position I was given in that church, my first instruction to all the leaders, because I was concerned, everybody complains, this orphanage home, that place smells and all that, this place is messed up. The moment I became the leader, the first instruction I gave all executives, all workers, meet in church on Saturday, 8 a.m. Come with brooms, soaps, mops. Where are we going to? We're going downstairs to wash the orphanage home. We're done washing it. The woman held my hands. I was in tears. And said to me, "Your people see us like filth. How they see us." Don't be arrogant. This system fights pride. Revelation should not overtake this one, I'm telling you. That's why we didn't video so nobody will misunderstand me. If you hear misunderstand me, it's your cup of tea. This one, I'm telling you. Don't know Bible, so tell you forget this one. There are blessings that comes when you have touched something. Huh? Sometimes it's your parent. It goes beyond the normal one praying for the children. But there are kinds that are provoked. That you should get it. Do you know that there are giving of alms that you do on the street? And meanwhile, when you are doing it, you are actually giving an angel. Now, because this is a woke generation, so these are things we don't feel happens. Because scripture says, don't be weary well doing, for by this men have entertained angels not knowing. How did Abraham enter into all God was saying about Israel? They were just men passing as normal men. But he went to carry them. They were angels. But this thing has to be a lifestyle. You have to raise an altar that there's something burning on it and crying on it every day. Because days may come, sir, that you are not too strong to pray, but these things can be praying on your behalf. How many of you have seen where they do jungle justice and they set somebody on fire? But you notice that the last thing to go off is the flesh, because the blood is flammable. You see? You are not strategic enough. Some of you used to be, but because the depth of this thing is not a revelation you had, you did it emotionally and just stopped. But I'm showing you a major secret. Despite being the pastor of this, I still give with pain. That's not convenient. Say, Lord, but my wife is here, so she knows everything. That was a covenanted man that would have died earlier than his days, but was spoken for sacrifice. But it is not just enough that there is a sacrifice, there also have to be a fire. Because if you put the burnt offering on a cold altar, that is, if you are somebody who is sacrificial and all that, but there's no prayer on that altar, what you are going to have is carcass. What you are going to have is smell. What you are going to have is something decaying. It should have brought glory of God down, but now it repels him. Because if you are very sacrificial and not prayerful, with your hand you will also destroy it. Because the only wise Christian I know is the one who is praying. There are wisdom you can't manifest if you are not praying. You can't be wise in God if you are not in touch with God consistently. Sometimes we get agony. If anybody tells you prayer is always convenient, think again. There are things you will do and destroy it with your own hands. Because when you are not praying, the devil uses you to fight you. He doesn't use the enemy first. He uses you first. And the moment you see that there is prayerlessness, then the devil is actively at work. Anytime you see that you struggle to pray, the devil is about to become very busy on your matter. You've got to rise. So some either have cracker, they have something on the altar, but there's no fire. Some have fire and have everything, but there's no burnt offering. Let me say this to you. You have to fight prayerlessness like you are fighting the devil himself. Anytime you are no longer praying, the way you should rise back is with an understanding that this is a fight for your life, sir. It's a battle for your life. I'm saying again, it is, you are fighting for your life. A lot can be settled, fixed, robbed from you, and damaged the moment you are not in the place of prayer. Yoruba adage will say, "Yonchoba sin lele where a man beacon." It is the one who is not in the spirit that everybody gets their location, but this one they set in next year. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? People, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let me say this to you. There are instructions you can't think through from God. You will have to be fanned to flame in the spirit to a level to receive them. You can't strategically think them. You can't receive them cold. There are things you can't receive cold, sir. Sometimes you are prayed hours. Then you are now at a level of subjection where you can handle that instruction. Then God, so sometimes it's just a light for the next phase of your life. But sir, if all these attempt to live life by thinking, you want to get married, you don't know tomorrow. The one who knows tomorrow, who knows the future of that person, you won't consult him. You won't go on your knees and say, "Father, speak to me." You want to make a major decision. The one who has seen it, where you are going is a pass to him. And I see the devil trying to quench many fires with the spirit of immorality. When I ask you to pray, will you pray? Or will you pretend? Will you pray or will you pretend? You are not answering me well. Will you pray or will you pretend? Can I give you a prayer point? You will shout like your life depends on it. Wherever my prayer fire went, return back now. I refuse to be prayerless. Wherever it went, return now. Return now. Return now. Return now. Return now. Refuse to package and patch it. Lord, help me. I refuse to package it. I refuse to have raw meat on my altars. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Lift your right hand. Say, every spirit of death that is drawing closer to me by killing my prayer fire, get out now! I refuse to be prayerless. Loud and clear. Shekete borokonde, ayende kubakate, ebubakande bokote. Yekete borokoshi. In Jesus. mighty name we are praying. Are you sure you are going to pray? Find somebody and hold. Want to pray prayer of agreement. Father, hold somebody quickly. Lift the hands of the person you are holding. Say, Father. Call him again like your father. See to it that the enemy does not rejoice over my neighbor. See to it that you win at last in the life of my neighbor. Lift your voice and pray. Yende keboku rakata, alande kabata katish. Yende kepate, elekete berekete. Lende keboku toroko shete. Yende keboroko teboroko shete. Yekete roko shunte roko. Yende roko roko. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Sit down for a few minutes. We are entering the phase of prayers now. Prayerlessness is a disease. The moment the fire of prayer stops going up, the person becomes stupid, the person becomes foolish. You can shock yourself. You can do the things you hate your fathers for. The moment you are no longer praying, you can't be strategic in God's agenda. Once you are cut off from the supply line of heaven, the devil has you where he wants you. You can do anything once you are not praying. There are destiny decisions that you should go right, you go left. Because in place of prayer, you hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way." Once you are not praying, you can't hear that voice. You will fight every help heaven supplies once you are not praying. You will be angry where you should not be angry. You will give up where you should not give because you are not seeing anything. And life is bad for the blind. Once you are not praying, you will not be where you should be. At the time, you should be there. Can't do anything right. You will have wrong response towards situations that requires the wisdom of God. Things you would have responded simply to by that wisdom. Once you stop praying, your battery is going low, and at each low level, you manifest different dangerous things. I see the devil removing clothes from somebody's neck. There's a condition here that's gotten so bad. You are here. The height of shame publicly is to remove somebody's clothes. There's somebody who is walking naked in the spirit realm. You are not undercover. He just wants to launch you down. You know it. You've been feeling that anything can happen to me now because you've never felt this weak. All eyes closed. That person, I'm going to call you once. There's a witness in your spirit now that I'm talking about you. I'm going to call you. If you fake it, I just move on. Stand up where you are seated if you are that person. I just described your condition now. Come forward. Shakate barande kapalate kende kapatiyai. Arande kapante, estife den bekitanda. Yai, ai, 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 ande te te ketibonde. Prefende keroko shende. I'm seeing somebody use something to mark your head. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You know about it. There's an incision there. Yeah. Rande kapataish, ande rakadish. Rande kapande kapatish. I'm seeing a calabash. Turn to the other side and blood is pouring out. something that they think has been done and fixed about your life is being changed tonight. What year did they put the incision there? Was it when you were? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I saw blood. Let me tell you something. I've never seen you before, but if you had missed this privilege, there's no way you would have survived this year. There's no way, I'm telling you. Okay, yes. They are trying to kill you now. You know, yeah. There's no way they've removed your clothes. Come. Lift your hands. First, have you given your life to Jesus? That's why you came to church. Okay, come. Say after me, Lord Jesus. Call him again. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept the life that you have for me. I believe in my heart that Jesus came and died for my sins, and on the third day, he resurrected. I confess that same Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Come.
Satan, take your hands off him. Now, out of his life. Take him up. Take off your hands. Take him off. Every covenant with the blood, I cancel you now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Get out! Bring him! Bring him! Everything gone to fix and settle your destiny. I command, I break every covenant of the blood. Ouch! You park your Lord and leave him now. I disconnect you from every group that is not of the Lord. Shakata Barakatish. I ask that there is a restoration of fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, hear me. Three of you, look at me. Start 3 days dry fasting. What did I say? Do you fast? Start how many days? Praying in tongues for at least 6 hours per day. Now, this is an instruction. How many days? 3 days. 6. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? You, can you do it? With ulcer. So you break with fruit in the evening. But fast. Your life depends on it. Your walk depends on it. God bless you. Let me bring this young man. Get him baptized in the Holy Ghost. Quickly. Quickly. Just take him to that spot and get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Every condition that is getting, that is experiencing decadence in the spirit realm right now. Oh, I ask that the spirit of prayer and supplication. Oh, I ask that the burden to wait and stand before the Lord. Oh, I ask that the spirit of prayer and supplication, prayer power, the Gaba and the Ikuhuzi. Hey, King Eulana, Aye Ikuba. Send the Kiba. Meri Gumbelia Igabusu Vileva. Bendu Sukubakai. Ready, second Betia. Hallelujah. Jesus, please be seated. When I ask you to pray, please pray. So the first issue is to deal with the issue of empty or cold altars. I'm seeing somebody seated. Don't bother standing up. Where you are, the fire of God can meet you anywhere. I'm seeing somebody seated. And right now, like the fellow is isolated and shrouded in darkness. Lift your hands where you are seated, everybody. Lift your hands where you are seated. I ask concerning everyone here. I don't know who that individual is, but I decree right now that the light of the presence of God, the light of His word, the light from His very throne, whoever that person is, you are isolated and shrouded in darkness. It's been lost. Satan, take your hands off this person. Now, your mind is under attack and is making you believe things that are dangerous about your life, that is not the plan of God for you. It's making you believe certain things are coming your way because you've been so weak to resist them, and it's dragging you bit by bit. Bye, it's all eyes closed. Who is this person? Around here now, quickly. He's making you believe negative things. And you are believing them fast, like it is God. You are believing them fast. I'm seeing thought of death. Death, death. Please come now, as I talk now, come. Shakatabande kapitesh. Rende kabala di shate bakate. Rande kapinde krapitos, randa kabatesh. Stand up, stand up. I join my faith with yours. I need help here. And I command, get off him now! I command every spirit, get off now! I command every spirit, get off now. I command every spirit, get off now. I command every spirit, get off now. That which the Lord has not planted, command be uprooted now. Thou foul spirit, scream and leave her now. Scream and leave her now. Get out. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. I cancel every thought and bring them to subjection in obedience of Christ. Never again will you be afflicted. Never again will you be tormented. And I command by the fire of the Holy Ghost, get out now. Say it loud and clear. All the thoughts that God thinks towards me, they are thought of peace, not of evil, to give me a hope and a future. It is done. Help that lady. Let her just put her eye on the chair. Let her just sit towards the hand there. Something is happening in her life. Quickly, let's move. Number two.
Number two. I want us to look at the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. I won't have time to walk you through the entire scriptures, but I want you to see something. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, I want to show you how people can be victim of sins they didn't commit. People can be victims of what? Sins they didn't commit. If you study the story of the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all that, but from Jacob, God spotted a young man that was going to bear the seed and carry to the next generation. His name was Judah. And Judah made a mistake. He slept with one of his son's wives. Terrible situation. It ought not to be. He had incest. And from that moment, God went silent. All his lineage. Shh. Look at it. Matthew 1. Let's start from verse 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Are you seeing now that Jesus was just single-handedly referenced to two significant people in the entire lineage? That's the power of covenant and the power of altars. What happened between Abraham and David? Well, let's continue. Verse 2 now. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. I pray for you in the name that is above all names, you will be relevant. Now, look at the way history is being told from the most perfect perspective, and you will think Isaac was the only one Abraham gave birth to. You will think Jacob was the only one that Isaac gave birth to. You will think Judah was the only one that Jacob gave birth to. But there's a grace called the grace of significance. It is not about who is the richest. You follow what I'm saying? When this grace finds its way in your life, God finds expression through your lineage. I ask, you will not be irrelevant. For those who believe God has sent me with a word on my lips for you, now I pray specifically for you. You will never be irrelevant. You will carry the seed of substance. Please be seated. Sir, the house of David gets stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul gets weaker and weaker. There are people who are praying, but unfortunately, they're in the house of Saul. You don't understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you again, there are people who are praying and praying, but unfortunately, they are in the house of Saul. My friend, I don't know. Stand. I've never seen you before. No, you at the back. Yes. But I'm seeing what looks like somebody saying that you will not succeed over our children. Let me ask you a question. Come. What kind of house are you coming from? I'm seeing somebody stand. They've seen that the hand of God is upon your life. And there's a conclusion that you will not get up than our children. I stretch my hands and I decree over your life the grace that separates men for God's plan comes. Now listen, what is upon your life is by the virtue of God's decree. Something he has concluded, not because of what you have done right or wrong. You are a product of mercy. And I decree that that covenant of his mercy that shields men from every arrow and onslaught of the enemy shields you. And you emerge. You will break the records effortlessly. And when you have done that, don't walk in hatred.
Now, when Judas or Judah, this is not Judas Iscariot. So when he went to make that sexual mistake, look at this genealogy. Phares and Zara of Tamar. So in that lineage, Phares. Then Phares begat Esrom. Esrom begat Haram. Haram begat Aminadab. Aminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Booz of Rechab. Booz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. The reason why the other names didn't sound interesting was because yet until the 10th generation, no significance will come. It's called patterns of the blood. All 10 generations will go through something. And do you know that what that scripture actually said in Deuteronomy 23 is that all the 10th generation will have to be outside. So when God was going to move on from David and he would have established the kingdom of Saul forever, it would have been because, of course, David was the 10th generation, which should not see the congregation. But what did David know? What was he doing in the wilderness that made God find a man in that generation that should not come to his congregation that said, I found a man after my heart? He knows the power of altars. Many of you are coming from places where people don't rise. You are out here and you are forming like all is well. Some of you have not gotten to the stage where the patterns speak yet. Some, the women, there is no issue with them getting married early and things being fine. They just get to a certain age, they have a sickness and they die. Look at the issue of this woman that died recently. I listened to it so much. Oh, I said, like, what is this? Her mother died. Everybody was dying. And she said she thought she was the next. Until they killed the daughter first, then her. And all the people she listed, nobody survived. And sometimes people see death coming and forming as a pattern in a family. And that doesn't mean you are not. You can be born again and still have that pattern. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are places, what? Give me many things. There are places that the girls will be so beautiful, very, very fine. You don't even, and please get what I'm saying from the heart I'm speaking from. But no man will come. Some men will come, but they are not good men. All the women are good in that family. They are people of virtue and character, but nobody married a good man. You can look at the aunties and you say, these are angels. How come this woman, you talk to, you say, how come this beautiful, calm woman will marry a man who beat her blue and black? And you can trace that to her children too. Very good women, but bad men. In some places, the women in the house are blessed, but the men are poor. If you are a blessed man and you marry without breaking it, something will happen to your finance. You don't understand what I'm saying? In some places, all the women are doing fine. They are the breadwinners. The husband, you can't tell one force that collect the source of their livelihood, and it is a pattern like that. And you are a young boy, just think, well, you are doing well, you just go and marry, you didn't pray, you didn't do anything. What collected their source of livelihood, collect yours too. And you are wondering. You are in some places, the men just get tired of the wife. All the men they are married to are cheating. They are just tired of them. And in some places, it is that the men marry in the dark. The same way Jacob went to marry Leah. And when it was daybreak, when he was now enlightened, now saw that this was not what I wanted. You see a man violently chase after what he doesn't want. Only for them to have married. And they are now chasing other things up and down. And you are wondering, were you not the one who, they keep going for what they will not want? Are you following what I'm saying here? And in some places, it is this issue of near success syndrome. Everybody, and you know the way the devil is so stupid and wicked, everybody will almost eat it. They are almost getting, they are almost touching it, they are almost getting there till they almost and they die. In some places, it is that success really comes, but it is short-lived. They hold it. The moment they have the greatest breakthrough, the next thing they are trying to buy is coffin. Because the person has died. And I beg you in the name that is above, don't just sit back and ignore these patterns till it now foams upon you like a wave of water. You are seeing these things happening. You look, what kind of men has my lineage produced? Who among them can I say broke through? Who among them can I say is a man who is truly and indeed faithful with his wife? You look at yourself, you are young. Already you are young, you are newly married, you are battling with immorality. Could it be the demons that fought your parents? When I ask you to pray, please pray. Sometimes what you are fighting, you didn't start it. You are just a victim of a fire somebody kindled. Somebody started a fire and it will be that every generation. Sometimes some young boy and girl had issues, they had sex, they impregnate themselves. No, the daughter too will have to go through that. She will not know what will push her. She can't help it. That thing push her to give birth to her own child. Automatically, that child is in the boxing ring from the day one of her birth. Was it something she started? No. The way the urge will come on her, it's an altar. It is not the same way every other person feels it. Another boy coming from somewhere who is carrying similar altars will locate themselves and mess up themselves. In some places, the case is the case of men marrying women that will maltreat them at the tail end of their lives. The wives will maltreat them and beat them. Despite all they have worked for, they will die like chicken. And you can look at it and say, this grandma, you heard the story how your grandma beat your grandpa and will maltreat him. Now you are seeing your parents too. You look at it, nobody has died well, and you are sitting down. You are just wondering, maybe by one lock. Lock! People rise and pray and stop patterns. None of us can be doing what we are doing without creating time and stop patterns. You can repeat it with anointing, sir. Every pattern raging like wave of many waters. Not in my life, not in my lineage. Mighty name we're praying. What I'm talking to you about is a serious matter where you have not broken patterns of the bloodline. Listen to me. You are going to have typologies in your lineage. Let me explain. Sometimes you see people that you will hear their fathers share stories of how that somebody significant in the generation, everybody knows, they were once friends, or they were once colleagues, or they were once this. You wonder, how could you have had the opportunity to be a part of something like this and you end up like this? You can't tell why. Sometimes just listen to me. Just a level of strife, just separate, and in the child's generation too, there will be a typology of somebody that will come out as significant. It too will have legal ground. They just make decisions contrary to destiny. Have you found people that every decision they make is contrary to God's plan for their lives? You can trace the house. When they go home, everywhere looks covered like a shine, though they call on Jesus, but nobody's really rising. You can't see the force, but you see the effects. Amen. Amen. When I ask you to pray against patterns, this that you are doing is not the main break. This one, I'm telling you, pray like your life is on this matter. Hakate Bakadesh. Rende ke boko brofende ke baladiye. Yete ke bono tike. Oba tonga kuma ladura motide. Oba tonga kuma ladura motide o. Boromiro o. Beja mija o. Majen bagba nu adura o. Pray o. Pray. Pray. In Jesus' name we are praying. Sit down for a while. That's anger. You didn't start it. You only inherited it. And let me tell you something. Whenever a pattern goes from one generation to another, a spirit takes charge of the descendant, called familiar spirit. What that simply means is, this is the spirit that is familiar with your bloodline. They know what to touch, that they can have almost 99.99% guarantee that if they touch it in the life of a man from your lineage, the man will fail. And everybody falls on the same sword. Everybody. See, the way you pray this prayer is not, Father, every pattern. No. You know the one that you already have started battling with. We pray these prayers in agony and fight with that beast till they no longer exist. You know that one that is already encroaching. Is it lust? Is it immorality? Are you getting closer to polygamy? Are you getting closer to adultery? To fornication? Is it abortion? What is it? You know their names. Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it hatred? Is it laziness? You know the pattern. Call their names. Mighty name we pray. Look up. Sit down for a minute. Many Christocentric people try to neglect these things. Listen to me. There is a clear difference between breaking patterns
and suppressing patterns. Let me tell you the difference. A pattern in your house may be a pattern of, let's say, adultery. All the men have done it at least once. You may be in an environment where they have instilled discipline in you through the word of God. That doesn't mean it is broken. It is just suppressed. Because you've not taken care of it. You've got to face that beast and command that. Now, what's the best you can do is that it takes its hand from lineage from you going forward. Your siblings will have to do their own. It means that when you do that, you are settling things for your own children. Listen. If you don't do this and you try to suppress them, try and raise them in the way of God, they turn wayward. This is the reason behind why many Christian people who are powerful, they suppress the pattern, they didn't break it. There was a time in my life I told God, you either take this thing from my life or kill me here. I'm not going to step out of this prayer ground. If only your eyes have been opened. Listen to me. Many of you are arrogant people. You will never have respect on things like this. But in the day that you fail and fall on this sword you didn't take care of, our messages will be there to help you. But when I studied my own biological father. And I said, I saw when this man was ordained into ministry. How come we can't trace anything? And I found out one very significant thing. There is no record of genuine accountability. I was in a meeting here in Ibadan. A man walked into that meeting. I said, this is the man that ordained my father. I was there that day when they poured oil on him. This is the man, still burning, still on fire. But what happened to this man? So me, I know that if a thought comes to my heart that you are doing well now, forget your spiritual father, it will be the same thing that fought my father. I know what I'm telling you. I know it. I didn't just start praying blindly. I took time to study patterns. I knew exactly what kind of woman people in my lineage are prone to marry. And I knew by the help of God's Spirit how to beg to help me till I see the one that you say, this is it. I could have made mistakes. So when I ask you to pray, please pray. Please, I beg you in the name of God, pray. Every pattern of my bloodline that nobody seemed to have had victory over. No, I break free by the help of the... Call them by their names. Don't pray in ignorance. Yekete borokum broku patish, lenkete bokono kobete kete, ele mokombe kete kete, ye ikuku bahai, yende kibai. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Sometimes the issue is that every firstborn are not really doing well. Or sometimes they are even dead. Firstborn, and it is almost becoming like a pattern almost in every household. It's like you now hardly see a firstborn child who is doing well. The firstborn biologically of Abraham was Ishmael. He didn't do well. Firstborn biologically of Isaac was Esau. Didn't do well. Firstborn biologically of
Jacob was Reuben, he didn't do well. And you wonder why. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. If you are a first child here, come out. I want to bless you. Quickly. Just stand behind the lines. Thank you. You are a first child. Is this how many you are? My God. You are a firstborn child. Whether you are first male or first female, please still come out. Some of you are the first to do certain things. First to get married legally. First to do some things. First to break through. First to step outside the shores of the country. First to buy a car. Every pattern of the first. Rende kuba kate keboros. Rende kabile tekesh. Ebinos. Kamba kai. Maindo ku brekiba. Satande kubele katish. Rende kebobobobobo kom. Ebimbe kedegetai. Anda kabatuai. Ayande ketu. Sekede bakajada. Yambaka patakata. Yente kebele kaku. Baka baka. Atende. Esukubaya. Rende ke balakan de ke breke petikai, rabakai da kabatish. Hey, selekem broko patish. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Join your hands together, every one of you here. Lift those hands up while you are joining them. I decree and declare. Every battle that fights firstborn, that fights first of a kind, every warfare that is uniquely designed to terminate first of a kind, that is fighting your life and fighting your destiny, I command tonight an end comes to them in the name of Jesus. Those of you who are online, who are putting your hands on your head, you are doing well. I command from henceforth, let no devil touch this once again. Thou spirit backwardness and regression, take your hands off them now. Every spirit of mistakes of the firstborn, I command, take your hands off them now. Every first belongs to God. Every power of darkness trying to personalize you and make you small, take your hands off. From today, I decree and declare, everything that defeats firstborn child will not defeat you. Everything that transfers the glory of the firstborn to the next, to the siblings, it will not succeed over your life. I command from today, go forward, 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 go forward. Become a slave. Everything that has covered firstborn in your lineage, they will not succeed over your life. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have agreed. Now go back to your seat, baby. Something is settled here tonight. Oh, Rakante Gibati Shati Bakai Shande Kapatai Chatabande Kapitosh Rendi Kopanda Kapatia Rande Kapende Kapitesh Yende Kabai Takapatesh Kande Kapatai. Now, hear me. Many of you have been wondering why the depth of the battles you've been fighting is honestly not your fault. But those who brought you here did not win certain things. And it is important you win. That's the bitter truth. Are you following what I'm saying? You will emerge and look like nothing about your lineage. In some places, nobody has answered the call of God well without shame. You will succeed and come out well. You will come out well. You will come out well. Now hear me. Be seated for a minute. Whatever the devil succeeds in doing once, he tries to repeat it on the next generation. But careful of what, because listen to me. People can inherit patterns, but also new patterns can start from people. New people also start new patterns. Are you following what I'm saying here? But careful of the grounds you yield to the devil. Don't yield grounds to him. Now, one of the instructions I want to give you here is that make this season a season of intensified fastings and prayers. Don't just suppress the pattern, defeat them. Listen to me. There are things that, because of the nature of your own bloodline, you must not taste once. Are you following what I'm saying? There are things you must not. You have grown up and you have unfortunately watched your mother cry because of the unfaithfulness of your father. Do you know you can eat it so much and still become it? Yes. You can eat it well and repeat it. Don't suppress it. You are not the kind of person, you are now married. Before you are even married, you are playing up and down with sexual sin. The devil, listen, the devil will program you well. The devil is a dangerous programmer. He can program people and settle it and get everything looks fine. That's why when I'm talking to you, please listen. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm telling you? When I'm talking to you, listen. You see, particularly those of you who are sons and daughters, you have beckoned on me to do the most difficult work. I am not the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I will have to deal with certain things in your life to the level of what I've seen in terms of their magnitude. And even you will not understand. But when those days comes, what will preserve you is trust. Then the things that you have marked as alpha is too far. Don't be a generation that caused their fathers. You must discern that God has established certain institutions to make sure you don't fall below certain lines. You have to. We're in the generation where it is fathers trying to hold on to children. You should pursue. You should. I asked some sons and daughters, I said, you think I'm going to be having sons and daughters platform for life? Those platforms are there to help you learn how to follow now. Because by the time you are now, do you think I will always be chanced like this? Do you honestly think you'll be my primary audience for life? I know God has set you here. This is your house. But that would always be like this, week in, week out. And you believe it. Think again. But before that time comes, there are things that God has anointed me to help you take care of. Oh God. If you miss it, it's not a threat. It's fire on the mountain. Let me leave it there. And I've discovered that, hear me now, the temperament of the people that God puts you under is prophetic. It is the needed thing to root out the nonsense. You don't know. You want a father that will pamper you to end up like the rest. Or the one that when he stand on a matter, you know this is it. You come and meet me and say, you don't feel the wife you have married is your wife. Oh, blood, I can slap you. Say, you don't feel like, you don't what? So by the time you are, may you not have a life that there is no presence of men you fear. I can tell you, oh boy, sit down there. What are you saying? We heard your wife said they saw something on your phone. What do you mean? And everything. You all by yourself, you can't do it. All by myself, I can't do it. And that's why I get scared for an apostolic generation we are trying to raise where there's no pattern of fathers. My lane. Let me leave it there. The third aspect of my conversation with you tonight. Please be seated, everybody. Now I want to instruct you. And this instruction is towards your financial establishment. I've been teaching you in this regard. I've been praying for you in this regard. And also other areas. But I believe that many of you are in seasons of your life where it is important that you get this aspect right. Two things that scripture says, as long as the heavens and the earth remains, will never cease its seed time and harvest time. So you must know how to harvest. And two things also scripture says, that the rain will bring to your lives is bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Said, as the rain and the snow will not return back to heaven, but that makes the head bring forth bud and flourish, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, listen to me. It means that if truly your life is being watered by God, you should not just have what is on your table, you should also have what is for tomorrow. So it is sincerely not a divine order for you to have daily bread, but no savings and no investment. And sometimes, the problem is that what you have on your table is not even enough. Talk less of savings and investment coming. But hold on a minute. But you shall just know in your heart that this is the divine order. Is that okay? And is it possible for me to be fathering or pastoring anybody that believes that God doesn't mind him or her being poor? After all the things you've learned, said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. And be in health, even as your soul prospers. He wants you to prosper. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. All right? So if you look at your life and you can only trace seed time, but you can't trace harvest time, something is wrong somewhere. If you look at your life and you can only see bread and not see seed, which is the voice of the future, something is wrong somewhere. And you can contend for financial establishment. It doesn't matter the nation you are listening to. Listen to me.
I think it was Bishop Pastor Matthew Asimolowo that said, a lizard in Nigeria is not automatically an alligator in America. Sincerely, changing countries does not mean breakthrough. You may just now come on the level of poverty by their own rating. It may just make you at peace a little, because this our system here too is like a curse. It will just change your narrative of what your problem is, but the problem is still the problem. I've had to pray for Nigerians in America, in Italy, in Spain, who are sleeping on the street. So I know that it's not about changing countries. So hear me wherever you are listening from. So these two things must be in your life. Seed time and harvest time. If you are not seeing harvest, ask yourself, did I miss seed time? That seed time includes personal investment in your life, in your time, into meaningful and impactful relationships. Giving towards the kingdom is also part of seed time. Taking time to maximize your life and not hold your life like a pinch of salt. Don't eat your today because of tomorrow. If you are wandering up and down, you are the one we are seeing at ShopRite at night with crazy jeans, and you are putting pickup, and then tomorrow don't come and tell us like God was bad though, or like you did everything you should have done but God didn't answer you. If you sincerely waste your today, you have wasted tomorrow too, because today is the seed of tomorrow. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes what you are experiencing now may honestly be a function of the opportunity you missed yesterday. But don't worry, today is still a seed time of another day. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you may look at your life, could it be? And I say this, when I'm talking, before I come out for any meeting, I pray. I pray longer than I study. So, and most of my prayer is for my heart and your heart. If a matter is a matter of my heart, I will not teach in that direction. So when I teach, I'm blank. I give examples blank. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what I want to say is this, that if you missed the opportunity to take education serious and you now did not go to school, there are certain opportunities that you may not be able to get. But what you can do now is to check, do I still have the time? Can I maximize it now? There are things that sometimes life starts for all of us at different areas. Some are privileged to go to university, some college of education, some polytechnic, whichever one. But do you know that you can reroute? You can fight for your placement in life. You can refuse not to give up. Are you in your 50s? We are even seeing 50s still going back to school. Many of you had people who were in their 50s who went to school. And sometimes my heart breaks because I see people, school certificate, no. What job have you learned? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. You just believe that you will be fine like that. If you have been saying amen since this prayer started, I've come to tell you now that you are not strategic enough for the level of blessing God wants to bring. What should he use? Are you following what I'm saying here? Can I be very honest with you? So sometimes many of us may not be in places where there was anyone who was ready to take us up. But how about now that you have started? Do you know you can be working where you are working? Let's assume what they are paying you is 30,000. And you are managing, as you are doing that, you are finding somewhere, National Open University, you enroll, you are paying, you are doing your stuff bit by bit. And when God sees that you are diligent, finds help on your way, and like that, people who are mocking you and thinking that's all about your life, few years later now you are a graduate. You can go for your own master's. You can go for your own PhD. How you did it, nobody cares. Just make sure you are moving. So for believers to expect a breakthrough without giving God something to multiply, he's trying to make God a magician. There are things you have to take very serious if you will break through financially. And now I'm instructing you. Number one, Don't live every day as it comes. Live deliberately. Don't live every day as it comes. Live deliberately. Quit giving people the avenue to break into your schedules. Anybody can just call you now and just break into your schedules, except they are your boss. Where you dey? I dey gone do. Move, just go beach now. Wait for beach. Okay. How far they come? I just buy some beach wares. You go. Oh my God. Every time lost can never be gotten back. Live with that consciousness. All right? Take your time serious. Number two, invest deliberately in high impact relationships. I'm not talking about relationships that happened by itself. Have relationships that you went to make. If you are the best financially in your cycle of influence, you are poor. Because one eyed man is seat of the blind is a blind man. So go into circles where they are doing far better than you. Reach out. All right? Have people in your life that when they talk to you for 15 minutes, your mind is stretched. Listen to me. One of the very vital tools of transformation is information. And the information that is powerful enough to change your life rests with people who are doing well for themselves already. See, what I'm telling you is not grammar. Huh? A young man came to meet me in church on Sunday and said, I'm a real estate person. I have over 1,000 acres of land, blah, blah, blah. Immediately, I have somebody who is trusting God for 500 acres in that same location. We have talked about it. We're on a retreat together. We still prayed about it. Right there and there, I picked my phone and called the person and said, that land you are trusting, are you still interested? He said, yes. I know many billionaires who are interested, who are involved in that project. Each plot of land is going for 10 million. Now multiply that 10 million by 500. All the things you share, they are powerful. But you are not in any circle where they can transform to anything. The highest anybody can do is to listen and say, hey, yeah, I wish there's money. And you don't even know that something. Listen, if you always feel threatened being around people who are doing better than you, that's a sign of low self-esteem. You've got to humble yourself and see people who are doing finer and learn to know what they know. Are you following what I'm saying? No? So, now, I wrote something here. Life favors the courageous. The fearful are always disadvantaged. Life favors the courageous. Be courageous. Be bold. Some of you have been raised in places where they've intimidated you all your life. Quit being intimidated. No, listen to me. Listen to me. The difference between people is time. If you have the same ingredients, you will make the same soup. Never feel worthless because somebody is doing better. You may really acknowledge their greatness, but not at the expense of your own greatness. So when I'm meeting anybody, I know it is two great people meeting each other. One may be in manifestation now, the other is with time. So are you following what I'm saying? There are things I don't even know people do. Most times I'm not politically correct. I'm just straightforward, like Aboki, like that. I'm just straightforward. I don't know how to play politics. I'm just too honest. If I see you are doing well, I celebrate you publicly. I don't care if people are doing, if there's a prank in this generation where they feel if you celebrate somebody, it's because people feel the fellow is doing better. I don't care. Are you doing well? Yes. If you inspire me, I will tell you publicly, you inspire me. I don't know anything about. So that's why my life is very, very, very plain and very dark. I don't have worries or struggles.
Are you following what I'm saying? And I can sit anybody down and say, show me the secret of this. There's something you know I don't know. Very important. Be bold. If you are not bold, those who don't have your gift will do better than you. In fact, most times those who are doing better than you are not as gifted as you are. Sometimes they are not as anointed as you are, but they are only courageous to take their baby steps. I'm giving you instructions here. Denounce fear. Go for gold. Go for gold. Go for gold. Listen to me. If you ask me what is one of the major secrets, and I'm going to share, because the last phase I'm going to talk about is about the church. What is one of the major secrets of what you are doing, Pastor Femi Lazarus? This. I still call myself a pastor. What's one of the secrets? Blah, 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 blah. I will tell you, I have no respect for limitations. I'm telling you. By the grace of God, we are starting Abuja branch this year. Now, hear me. I do not have any respect for that city. I just go like Paul. I know nothing amongst you save Jesus and him crucified. If I'm going to a city, I will never speak with anybody who believes that church doesn't grow in that area. I will never. Are you following what I'm saying here? We are actively now looking for another venue in Lagos. The church is 3 weeks old. I don't have any respect. Say Lagos, workers can come by. We start workers meeting 7 a.m., sir. And workers are seated. What do you mean? Say it's Lagos, workers can't come. I go to UK, workers meeting 7 a.m. Well, is there snow? Come. I don't have any respect for this city. America. Let me know. By the grace of God, I'm having American tour this year. And you know my topic for the tour? Patterns of the bloodline. Who goes to go and teach that for white people? You see that demons are not just in Africa. That's my topic. Oh, I don't have any respect and go and say, what? If it was working for you, God would not send me here. What do you mean? I don't get anywhere and copy their method. If your method was good enough, why would you need us? You go to a place, say, church is not growing here. All pastors now, 7 days marathon fasting will begin tomorrow. One of our friends was sharing with me about Canada. And he said, yeah, they are doing retreats. They are serving coffee. They are doing goat meat. Retreat. Ah, how long? Praise God. Are you tired of me? I have no respect. We are starting. Listen. This place, I've told your pastors, they must begin 2 services as quickly as possible. You say, two services? This place is big. Sometimes people don't even feel it to the back. This. Oga, is it your church? As long as you keep bringing empty containers, you will keep filling them. There are people who are meant for that time zone. They will not come because you just believe that's all God can give. We have never started, listen, second service because we are full. In Lagos, we did first opening inauguration service. We know we're moving to that place. It's a normal thing for you to have said, let me watch. Watch what? I'd rather watch what God can do. Start 2 services straight up. You don't need to park everywhere. If you are waiting to park everywhere to start 2 services, you will never start. And you will never park everywhere. Just give God empty containers. I told your pastor, I said, let everybody dance like mad people. You will not know where people are coming from. I don't know if you saw what happened on Sunday. You think the secret is about going up and down with billboard and shouting, you run up by. When scripture says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, I will multiply you. A sad church will never grow.
very sad. They don't worship. They are not praying. God is restricted. There has to be liberty of the spirit. Now, let me give you this instruction. Don't eat with your 10 fingers. Think about your tomorrow. Think about your children. Don't eat with your 10 fingers. Save. Invest. Give. Now, hear this. I want to give you 4 areas your money must always be going into. That's after your own. That's, of course, considering in mind that your upkeep is taken care of. So, 4 area your money must always go into. This is going to be 4 indices. Check your life with this. Number 1, the gospel. You must be an active partner with the gospel. Active giver to the cause of the gospel. Your local assembly, give. It is not every giving that is convenient. So don't say not grudgingly. Sometimes you give sacrificially and it's painful. Number 2, give towards the poor. You can put in bracket the widow, the orphans. You must have a structure for this. Start with 15 naira, it doesn't matter. Number 3, your parents. You must give towards your parents. Let them eat the fruit of their labor. Number 4, you must have investments. Something that has the potential to multiply. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's that. And I gave sons and daughters instruction the last time I taught you. And let me say this to you. When I tell you to do that, you know, now we are still scattering seeds and laboring. But do you know that all of you will not always remain like this? Those who will be giants of tomorrow will be the ones who said, we took note and obey all of those instructions. Don't just give tithe, give corporate tithe. You have an organization, give tithe from the profit. It's a principle I learned. Now, I have, by the grace of God, lands. And I marked out where each plot will go to. This one goes here. This one goes here. This one goes here. There are people who have told God that they don't have to be looking for land by the grace of God as I'm here. You just notice that your journey is prosperous and easier. Don't be the type that is hungry when your in-laws want to do something. They are your parents too. Now, let's talk number 4. Towards the church. Sphere of Light Church. This season for Sphere of Light Church is the season of spreading. So your commitment to the church must be stronger. Don't just commit yourself because I'm around. You must do much more when I'm not physically around. Go to Lagos. We have different things we're doing this year. Your commitment must be strong in this season. This is your spiritual family. God has placed you here. You have to start. Stop wondering in your heart. Am I staying here? No, where else do you want to go to? Where has God put your word? Am I staying here? You think I will treat you like a first timer that you don't know whether you are to stay or not? After hearing all the things you are hearing, you don't know whether you are to stay. Why did God bring you here? You have been here for 3 months. You don't know this is your place. You don't know if you join workforce. Now hear me. Even if you have 3 more months in this land, join workforce. Now, join workforce. You know why? We are coming to where you are going. Because we are spreading. Join workforce. So you can become a part of it. And you going there is us going there. Ministry doesn't start in place, it starts in people. Say I'm a worker, I'm a copper. I just came here to copper. Copper what? Copper doesn't work. Join work force. Praise God. And we need more people in media because there are some now, I've carried them to Lagos. What do you get what I'm saying now? Some of you, I carry you again to Abuja. Some of you, I carry you to Sokoto.
Some of you don't even know that our destinies are interwoven. Oh, you don't know that you are likely going to go to where I'm going. Oh, you don't know. The person who pastor Lagos Church, I just say, get me food. I was in the hotel. I said, oh boy, are you aware that you are the pastor here? I say, eh? Oh, the bunny here. That's it. You are the pastor here. Any explanation for that? No. What explanation do you want to know about being a pastor? You are the pastor here. You've been trained. We'll lay hands on you and pray for you and release you. Go and get your house. Everything you are doing about now, we kill it now. Move to Lagos. It's that simple. No, do you get what I'm saying? Please, we want to talk to you. We don't know how to talk to you. Maybe God is going to use you in Lagos. If you are that kind of person, you will never be among the ministers. You can't get up tomorrow morning and we say, from tomorrow, your new church is at Ring Road. Ring Road it is. You move. You don't know. There come my year. Okay. Let me just leave it that. There's no too much grammar to this thing. You came to serve God. Now, let me just give you an hint. Don't get too convenient here, because we can push you anywhere at any time as long as you're a worker. Do you get what I'm saying? I just called some families in church. I said, what's your plan? They said, move to Abuja. That's it. You work in Ibadan, it's done. Say, sir, that's it. You've moved. It's just as finished as house rent in Ibadan, house rent in Abuja. The one who calls you will settle it. You have moved. It's simple. All of you are clapping now. Have they told you that I have a grace? People cry a lot in my presence. I say, this, you are doing this. Unfortunately, I don't know how to say sorry. Why are you crying? Stop crying. Stop crying. Does this stick in, Father? I'm going to Jebo there and all that. You've moved. One of my daughters fainted when I was rebuking her. I was shocked. I felt more anointed. I said, fainted. Jesus Christ. That's power, man. So we're in a season of active spreading. Listen, it is not just the vision that is spreading, you too. So it is when the day they poured oil on my head and say he's an apostle, you too, you have become. You don't know. Where is Nakale now? He's in Lagos. I don't know what he's doing, but you move to Lagos. So from Lagos, there's somewhere else you are going. I've told him, you only have a few months in Lagos. You go there, go and be waiting for me there. We'll come and meet you there. That's it. The conversation is less than a minute. We move. By the grace of God, God has blessed us in this house with mighty armies. That the next statement is, we move and we move. Are you following what I'm saying here? Praise God. There are some of you, you don't know. Let me tell you, I will just not mention. There are some of you that before this time next year would have sent you to Ghana. Listen. You don't know. Some of you by this time next year will be in Kenya. You don't know. You don't get what I'm saying? You say, I've never been there before. You have NIN. Yes. We'll help you work your passport. Okay, you don't believe what I'm saying. Okay. You are going to Kenya. Shocking you. Say, shocking to me, sir. Okay. This apostolic, this thing, it is all of us that have accepted it. If you like, pick your shoe and run away. You will run back. Do you get what I'm saying? You are running back. I'm telling you that our destinies are interwoven. You don't know. Wait. You say, what about Sphere of Light Church here? This place, God will always fill it. We are buying this facility, but you see, God will always fill it. After all this kind of training you are receiving in this house, you think you are being trained to just go to a full-time housewife? Yeah. You and your husband carry you and then take you to Benin Republic. So I don't even know why you think I'm joking or something. I don't even know. This man was in Lagos. I called him. I said, "Well, come to Ibadan." Now we fought. Do you understand me? I said, "Boy, you are here. He's here now, by the grace of God. He's getting married soon." Wait. Wait. You see that clap of faith? Of all the men here, you are the only one whose stomach is inside. It's not Jimmy. You need a woman to take care of you. After all this stress, you go home, you go and buy burger, buy all those nonsense. Tonight now, we don't know if it's suya, you're going to buy another. You can't pastor us well like that. So you are still slowing down what we want to do. So we know that, praise God, God has settled it. She came here. She's ripe already for harvest. In case she's online, I'm talking about Pastor Tumisho. So you hear. She's ripe. Ready to go. Praise God. I was not seeing this kind of result when I was just single. I'll get married. Your life is sweet. You know what I'm saying now? As I get home, just like a flash, my wife has done some semis. This is just flowing. Let me celebrate my wife. Only this woman could have married me successfully. I'm telling you, this woman is just, she's customized for me. Praise God. Yeah. God, I beg. It's the right prayer. So you have to be set. Is that okay now? You have to be set. Between August last year and now, we have spent over 100 million. Where is the money coming from? We too don't know. God has been providing. If we just have the rugged faith to do everything we have to do. By this month ending, we are balancing this place for 8 million naira. We are starting a new branch at Ring Road, Oliole area. We are getting another venue for Lagos. We are buying sound. We are starting another venue in Abuja this year, this same year. None of these things will fall to the ground, though. So, one of the things I want to tell you is that quit getting used to seeing me here. That's just the fact. Connection is deeper than physical. You get what I'm saying now? Don't say until we see Papa. Stop that. I have sons and daughters I've never seen before in my life, and we are very connected. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, get used to it. Is that clear? Now, you don't seem happy. Wait. Do you think you two will be here for life? So, you want me to be here for life? All of us are not here for life now. But anywhere you go, we are coming to meet you there. Are you following what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, we are coming there. Yeah. Not MTN, though. Sphere of Light. So understand that connectivity is spiritual, and please fasten yourself better now. Is that okay? Let's share a very good bond. Now I want to please beg. I'm seeing a wave of different kind of immoral content online, and I found out that they are coming from two sources, TikTok and Twitter. Now, those platforms are not a problem. The problems are only existing because you have despised those platforms. Is that okay now? Don't let's make the mistakes of our fathers in part, where we selectively pick one. No matter what happens on Facebook now, there's Christian content, at least every now. Yes. Do the same with Twitter and TikTok. How many of you are on Twitter? Let me see your hands up. Good. How many of you are not on Twitter? Let me see your hands up. Be honest. Download it tonight and get Jesus there. Get the gospel there. Get Jesus there and get the gospel. Get Jesus there and get the gospel. Don't operate in a digital world with analog mentality. If you don't know how it functions, study it. I began actively this year and everything is going well. Are you following what I'm saying here? Be very strategic. I'm giving you instruction now. I'm giving you that instruction. Be very, very strategic. All right? So understand that we are spreading aggressively in this season. We are spreading aggressively. I had a meeting. How many of you were in the meeting I had with you online? Was it yesterday or day before yesterday? Day before yesterday. Am I correct? How many of you were in that meeting? Do you understand the brief message? Yes. We are giving sacrificially this month. How are we giving? Sacrificially. How are we giving? Sacrificially. All right. We have to raise at least 15 million naira for us to be able to do what we are doing. Now, don't assume your next neighbor will give. Many of you joined the 500-man partnership system but never gave. We had factored everything out if only you were faithful. But now is another opportunity. Give. Is that okay now? Now, I want to bless you from my heart. I have instructed you. I have told you things to do. Put your two hands on your head. It is God who lifts the head of men up. That same God who is the lifter of men will lift your heads. Amen. You will not fail. Amen. You will not die on the way like smoke. Amen. Everything you are ready for, in the season you are ready for them, you receive them. Amen. I place this blessing upon your life. Amen. They will overtake you everywhere you go. Amen. You will enjoy goodwill of men. Amen. You will not fail God. Amen. You will not fail His plan. Amen. You will not fail His purpose. Amen. I decree that you are blessed. Amen. You will not be missing tomorrow. Amen. Everything that comes to your hands will survive. Amen. Nothing will die in your hands. Amen. Nothing will die in your body. Amen. You will not live in sickness. Amen. You will not live in pain. Amen. You will not live in distress. Amen. You will not live in regret. Amen. I ask that gallantly you fulfill destiny. Amen. Gallantly you fulfill purpose. Amen. Everything God has in mind for you as a plan, you will not miss any. Amen. You will not marry your enemy. Amen. You will not fail God's plan. Amen. You will not look like the failure of your parents. Amen. You will succeed. Amen. Even as election is about to take place in Nigeria, your blood will not be used for atonement for Nigeria. Amen. I decree that you are blessed. The kind of things that nobody has been able to do in your lineage, you do them successfully well. I bless you. I bless you. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Now give the Lord a big hand.
The blessings in the word reside with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.